Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Shabbat Perek Tet. This perek continues the survey of the 39 melachot, which began in the last perek, and covers 10 melachot, just like the last perek did. We pick up with the 11th melacha of Ofeh, baking, which is the last melacha of the Sidura de Pat, the series of agricultural melachot which start off the list of 39. Halacha Aleph. Ha'ofeh kagrogeret chayav. Echad ha'ofeh et ha'pat, o ha'mevashel et ha'machal, o et ha'samanin, o ha'mechamem et ha'mayim, ha'kol me'ein echadhu. Shi'ur ha'mechamem et ha'mayim, kedei lirchotz behen ever katan. Ve'shi'ur mevashel samanin, kedei shi'u ru'uyin la'davar she'mevashlin otan lo. One who bakes food in the amount of a grogeret is chayav. Though the name of the melacha is ofeh, this is only because it is the culmination of a series of melachot involved in making bread. The essence of the melacha is producing any kind of change through intense heat, including cooking a food or a dye, or heating up water. In Halacha Vav, the Rambam clarifies further. Any action which softens something hard through heat, or hardens something soft through heat, is a violation of this melacha. Examples of the first type of action include melting metal, wax, fat, or tar. An example of the second would be baking a clay utensil in a kiln until it hardens. There are certain limitations on what can be the source of the heat used in these activities, as we'll see in the next halachot. Halacha Bet. Hanotein beitza betzad amicham, bishvil shetit galgel, vinitgalgala, chayav, shama vashel betoldot ha'ur, kim vashel ba'ur atzma. V'chein ha'mediach v'chamin maliach hayashan o kulya sa'is benan, v'hu dag dak v'rach biyoter, harei ze chayav, sh'adachatan b'chamin zehu gemar bishulan, v'chein kol kayotze behen. One who hard boils an egg by putting it next to an urn of boiling water is chayav. This shows that for an act of cooking to qualify for this malacha, the cooking may be done with toldot ha'ur, something heated up by a fire, like this urn, rather than with fire itself. A small fish, like a sardine, can be cooked even by just pouring hot water on it, and this too is an act of bishul if the water was heated on a flame, even if the water was not poured on the fish directly from the pot in which it was heated. Halacha Gimel. Hamafkia et ha'beitza beveged cham, o bechol uva'avak drachim, shein chamin mipnei ha'shemesh, afa pi shenitzleit patur, shetoledet chama eina ketoledet ha'esh, aval gazru alehen mipnei toldot ha'ur, v'chein hamvashel b'chamei tveria v'chayotze behen patur, hamvashel al ha'ur davar shayam mivushal kol tzorko, o davar sheino tzarich bishul klal, patur. One who cracks an egg and spills the contents to cook on an outdoor surface warmed by the sun is patur, as this is an act of cooking not in toldot ha'ur, but rather in toldot ha'chama, something heated by the sun, which is asur midrabanan. The same applies to cooking in the water of hot springs. The halacha ends with a similar conclusion of patur in two additional cases. If one cooks something which does not require cooking at all, like edible uncooked fruits or vegetables, and if one cooks something which is already fully cooked. Other Rishonim disagree in the last case, as even something cooked can often be improved by further cooking. The Shulchan Aruch and the Rama distinguish between liquids and solid foods. A fully cooked solid food is not subject to further bishul, but one who heats up a liquid which has cooled down is chayav for bishul. The Shulchan Aruch is machmir about this if the liquid has cooled down at all, while the Rama rules that the liquid must have cooled down completely in order for it to be subject to bishul again. What if a cooked dish is mostly solid, but contains some liquid too, like a sauce? Some poskim, like Rav Avadya Yosef, consider this to be the equivalent of a solid food, and so it can be heated on Shabbat despite the liquid which heats up as a result, while others are machmir to avoid heating up any dish which contains even a small amount of liquid. The Shulchan Aruch and the Rama also debate if the heter to cook a fully cooked item in hot water applies also to something which wasn't cooked in water the first time, but rather baked or fried. The Shulchan Aruch is lenient about this, while the Rama is machmir. A practical application of this may be putting baked croutons or pieces of bread into very hot soup. The Shulchan Aruch would allow this, while the Rama may not. Halacha Dalet. Echad natan et ha'ur, v'echad natan et ha'itzim, v'echad natan et ha'kdera, v'echad natan et ha'mayim, v'echad natan et ha'basar, v'echad natan et ha'tvalin, uva acher v'hegis, kulan chayevin mishum mevashel. Shekol ha'oseh davar mitzorchei bishul, harei ze mevashel. Aval im shafat echad et ha'kdera, tchila. ובאחר ונתן את המים, ובאחר ונתן את הבשר, ובאחר ונתן את התבלין, ובאחר ונתן את האור, ובאחר ונתן העצים על האור, ובאחר והגיס, שניים האחרונים בלבד חייבין משום מבשל. Seven people participate in an act of cooking. The first lights the flame, the second adds wood, the third puts the pot in place, the fourth fills the pot with water, the fifth puts meat in the pot, the sixth adds spices, and the seventh mixes the pot. We saw back in Paragimel that mixing the pot, megis, can be considered an act of bishul. The Rambam rules that all seven are chayavim for bishul on Shabbat, because each performed an important stage in the process. Kol ha'oseh davar mitzorchei bishul harei ze mevashel. We'll see this concept in other melachot as well. When one does an act which is critical for the performance of some melacha, even if it isn't the melacha itself, he can be chayav just because of his role in the process. Other Rishonim explain this case in different ways. The Ravid believes that the third person who puts an empty pot above the flame is only chayiv if the pot is new, and the chiyuv is not for cooking, but for strengthening the pot by subjecting it to intense heat. And so the melacha involved is makeh bepatish, which we'll learn about in Perikud Aleph. Other Rishonim similarly believe that some of these people are actually chayav for other melachot and not bishul. The Kesef Mishnah explains that all seven are chayav for bishul only when they act together, not one after the other. He infers this from the Rambam's language. Note that the refrain, uva acher, implying that the people come one after the other, appears only in the second case in the halacha, not in the first case. In the second half of the halacha, the Rambam explains that if the flame and wood come at the end, after the pot and food have been set up, then the only two people who are chayav are the one who added wood to the flame and the one who stirred. In this scenario, since no flame was present from the beginning, the bishul is only considered to begin when there exists a substantial flame with enough fuel to cook the food inside the pot sitting above it. Halacha hey. Hiniach basar al gabei gechalin, im nitzlabo kagrogeret, afilu bishnaim shlosha mekomot, chayav. Lo nitzlabo kagrogeret, aval nitbashel kulo chatzi bishul, chayav. Nitbashel chatzi bishul mitzad echad, patur ad shiafoch bo, vitbashel chatzi bishul mishnei tzedadav. One who roasts meat above burning coals is chayav once a grogeret of meat is roasted, even if not the entire grogeret is in one place within the piece of meat. If it is not the case that this size of meat is completely roasted, one can still be chayav for bishul when the entire piece of meat is cooked halfway to completion. Other Rishonim are machmir against this Rambam in two respects. One, that the required level of cooking is not halfway to completion, but only one-third of the way to completion. This is the level of cooking referred to in the Gemara as machal ben drusai, named for a thief who would eat while on the run, without time to wait for meat to cook completely. Two, that even when it comes to cooking rather than roasting, we do not require the entire piece to reach machal ben drusai, and one is chayav even for a grogeret that reached machal ben drusai, just as in the case of roasting. Halacha zayin. Hagozeis tsemer o se'ar, bein min ha-behema, bein min ha-chaya, bein min ha-chay, bein min ha-meit, afilu min ha-shelach shelahen, chayav. V'chama shiuro, kedei litvot mimenu chut sh'orko kerochav hasit kaful. V'chama rochav hasit, kedei limtoach min bohen shal yad ad ha'etzba rishona kesheyiftach benihen b'chol kocho. V'u karov lishnei shlishei zeret. Ha'tolesh kanaf min ha'of, harei ze toledet gozeiz. V'atovet ha'tsemer min ha'chai patur, she'ein derech geziza b'chach, ve'ein derech niputz b'chach, ve'ein derech tevia b'chach. With the 12th malacha, gozes, or shearing, we move from the sidur de pat to the sequence of malachot involved in making clothing. One who shears wool or hair from any animal is chayav for this malacha, even if the animal is dead, and even if the hide with the hair on it has already been skinned off the animal. The shiur for this malacha is the amount of wool sufficient to spin a string of length which the Rambam calls rochav hasit hakaful, double the width of a measurement called a sit. The width of a seat is the distance between the thumb and forefinger when these are spread apart, which is about 2 tvachim. Hence, double this width is 4 tvachim. The Magen Mishnah notes that other Rishonim, including Rashi, measure the seat not based on the thumb and forefinger, but rather the forefinger and middle finger. As these cannot spread as far apart, the width of a seat is only one tefach, and double this width is two tefachim, half of the corresponding measurements for the Rambam. Plucking a feather from a bird is a tolda of gozes. Note the similarity to the malacha of kotzer from the last perek, where the av malacha involves cutting something growing while leaving the roots intact, just like gozes, and one of the toldot is completely uprooting, tolesh, the entire growth, rather than cutting it. One who spins wool which is still attached to the animal, and only then shears it off, is patur, as this is not the normal manner in which these activities of shearing and spinning are done. Halacha chet. Hanotel tzipornav o saro o sefamo o zekano, hareze toledet gozeiz v'chayav, v'ushi tol bichli, aval im talan biado, bein lo bein lacher, patur, v'chein hachotech yabolet migufo, bein bayad bein bichli, patur, bein lo bein lacher, umutar lachtoch yabolet b'mikdash bayad, aval lo bichli, v'im hayta yivesha, chotcha af bichli v'oved. If someone cuts the fingernails, hair, mustache, or beard, whether his own or that of someone else, this is a tolda of gozes, and therefore he is chayav, if he did this using a kli. In Halacha Tet, the Rambam adds that the amount of hair which he must cut in order to be chayav is generally two hairs, but this can be even only one hair if it is of a different color from the surrounding ones. But if he cut with his hand, not with a kli, then he is patur, as this isn't the normal manner of cutting. What about cutting a yabolet, a wart, off of his body? The Rambam rules that even one who cuts it with a kli is patur, as gozes only applies to cutting something which grows normally from the body, like hair or nails. The Magen Mishnah disputes this psak of the Rambam, and thinks that here too, one who cuts a wart using a kli is chayav. In the Mikdash, where a yabolet is a type of mum, which prevents a kohen from doing avoda, one may cut a yabolet without a kli, or even with a kli, if the abolet is dry and would fall off by itself with time. This is an example of the principle which we will see in other contexts as well, of ein shvut b'mikdash. Activities which are asur midrabanan on Shabbat are often permitted in the mikdash in order to allow the daily avoda there to proceed without obstruction. There is an interesting debate among Rishonim and Poskim about the entire application of gozes to cutting one's hair and fingernails. Tosfot believe that the entire purpose of gozes is to use the wool or hair which is cut. Therefore, if this isn't used but rather thrown out, as typically happens when one cuts his hair or nails, this is a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. For the Rambam, this makes no difference, as he believes malacha she'ena tzricha legufa chayav. But several Rishonim, who in general accept the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that malacha she'ena tzricha legufa patur, nonetheless quote this din from malacha chet, that one is chayav for cutting his hair or fingernails. And the Shulchan Aruch rules this way as well. Either these Rishonim refer only to a case where one plans to use the hair or nails, or they believe, as for example the Rivash believes, that gozes is considered malacha hatzricha legufa even when one does not need the material being cut. Part of the purpose of this malacha in the Mishkan was to clean off the animal hide underneath the wool in order to skin the hide and use it for the coverings of the Mishkan. Hence, gozes may be tzricha legufa even if one has no interest in the hair. Halacha Yud. Hamlabein et hatzemer o et hapishtan o et hashani v'chein kol kayotze behen mima shedarko litlabein chayav. V'chama shiuro kidei litvot mimenu chut echad or ko kimlo rochav asit kaful shehu orech arba'a tfachim. The 13th malacha is milabein, whitening or cleaning. It's not entirely clear what the Rambam considers to be the av malacha of milabein, as in the next halacha, he writes that laundering clothes is a tolda, not the av. He seems to believe that the av is limited to cleaning out wool from its dirty impurities after shearing it, possibly through a chemical process of bleaching. But the malacha applies not only to wool, but also to plants, like flax, pishtun, which require cleaning before being processed. The shear of this malacha is like for gozes, the amount of material necessary to spin a string 4 tfachim in length. Halacha Yud Aleph. V'amechabes begadim hareze toledet hamlabein v'chayav, v'asochet et habeged ad shiotzi amayim shebo, hareze mechabes v'chayav, sh'aschita mitzorchei kibusi, kamo sh'hagasa mitzorchei habishul, v'ein schita b'se'ar, v'hu adin lo'or, she'ein chayvin al schitato. laundering clothes, kibus, is a tolda of melaben. One who squeezes water out of a beged is chayev for kibus, because haschita mitzorchei kibusi, squeezing water out is a necessary component of laundering. As we saw earlier in Halacha Dalet regarding bishul, a comparison made explicitly by the Rambam here, an activity can be considered a malacha even if by itself it doesn't accomplish the result of the malacha, simply because it represents a critical stage in achieving that result. Both hair and leather aren't subject to schita because neither of these materials absorbs water. We note in passing that this is the second time we've encountered schita. The first was in the context of squeezing juice out of fruit as an act of mefarik, a tolda of dush. Note the major difference between these two activities. Schita performed in order to obtain the liquid which is squeezed out is a tolda of dush, in which you are interested in removing an inner food from an outer shell. On the other hand, schita performed in order to clean out the material from which the liquid is being squeezed has nothing to do with mefarik and is a tolda of melaben. Rishonim discuss differences between the two forms of schita and when each applies. One very apparent distinction is that schita as a form of mefarik can apply when any liquid at all is squeezed out, while schita as a form of laundering is relevant only when the liquid is clear, like water. The remaining seven melachot of the perek have relatively few applications in the modern context, and we'll summarize many of the details outside. The 14th melacha is minapetz, separating wool or flax into strands in preparation for spinning them into strings. This even applies to sinews of an animal, gidim, which one wishes to break into threads and then spin together into a string. The 15th melacha is tzoveya, dyeing a string of length 4 tfachim or material from which such a string can be made. The dyeing must be permanent, not a coloring which is easily removed, in accordance with a general requirement on Shabbat that the melacha be mitkayemet, something which can last a long time. If someone colors with a dye or pigment which is easily removed, he is not chayav, but rather patur, meaning that the melacha is nonetheless forbidden. In Halacha Yudalid, the Rambam adds that one is chayav for tzoveya even for creating the dye with which one dyes fabric and clothing, seemingly because in doing so, one colors the liquid using the various ingredients which give the dye its color. The Raivin, in his Asaga on Halacha Yudalid, rejects this and believes that only dyeing the finished product is considered tzoveya, not creating the dye itself. He considers the making of the dye to be an example of lush, which we discussed in the last parak, because it involves mixing solid ingredients with water to form a thicker dye. The listeners referred to the end of our last year for the connection between this and the machloket between the Rambam and Ravid about the parameters of lush. The Shulchan Aruch adds that there is no melacha of tzoveya when the object being colored is a food, ein tzvia be'ochlim, and therefore one may put spices into a cooked dish even though it changes the color of the food. The 16th melacha is tove, spinning thin fibers into a thread. The Rambam in Halacha Tadvav includes making felt as a tolda of this melacha, even though felt is made not by stringing fibers together, but by pressing them into a large mass. The Ravid objects to this classification and believes that tove refers specifically to the spinning process, not any other action which combines fibers into one unit. Making felt, he claims, is more similar to bone, which we'll see in the next parak, and which includes several activities in which smaller parts are combined together to form a larger unit. The shear for all three of these malachot, minapetz, tzoveya, and tove, are the same that we've seen for the earlier malachot in this series, namely a string of length 4 tfachim, or the material from which a string of this length can be made. Halacha Tet Zayin. Ha'oseh shnei batei nirin, chayav. Ha'oseh nafa o kvara, o sal o svacha, o shesireg mita b'chavalim, hareze toledet oseh nirin. Umi shiaseh shnei batim b'echad mikol elu, chayav. V'chein kol ha'oseh shnei batim b'davar she'osin oto batim batim kogon elu, chayav. This malacha, 17th in the Rambam's listing, is oseh shnei batei nirin. His understanding of this malacha is different from that of most Rishonim, who believe it to be a technical stage in the procedure of setting up a loom with which to sew fabric. In fact, in the Mishnah and Masechet Shabbat listing all 39 malachot, this malacha comes after the next one in the Rambam's listing, Mesach, which we'll see in a moment, and which, along with the following two malachot, are unquestionably associated with the use of a loom. But the Rambam understands oseh shnei batei nirin to refer to weaving any type of netting, like in a strainer, a basket, or in a bed made of ropes. The netting consists of loops which repeat, and one is chayav for weaving two of these loops. The last three malachot in the perek, discussed in halachot yud zayin through kaf, deal with setting up and using a loom. We'll explain these based on a general description of the workings of a loom, as provided by the Rambam in halacha yud zayin. A loom is set up with many parallel threads, known as the warp in English and shiti in Hebrew, attached at their ends to two large beams. The warp threads are beaten with a stick in order to straighten them and line them up together. The act of stretching the warp threads over the beams is called mesach, and this is the 18th malacha. Beating these threads to straighten them, shovet, is a tolda of mesach. Once the warp threads are set up, the threads going in the perpendicular direction, called the woof threads, or erev in Hebrew, are woven between the threads of the warp, the shti. The loom has a mechanism which moves alternating threads of the shti up and down in quick succession, so that the erev can be woven between them quickly and efficiently. The weaving of the erev through the shti is the 19th malacha of oreg. Ordinarily, one is only chayav for this malacha if he weaves two strings, but even one string suffices if it completes the beged. Two toldot of weaving, which the Rambam mentions in Halacha Yutet, are braiding hair and midaktik, which means pressing down on the erev, which has been passed through the shti strings, onto the previously woven part of the fabric, in order to produce a tightly packed cloth. The final malacha in the procedure of using the loom, 20th in the Rambam's list, is what he calls botzea, with a bet, but which appears in the Mishnah as potzea, with a pei, and the Ravid corrects the Rambam's spelling in his Asaga on Halacha Chaf. They also debate the exact meaning of this malacha. The Ravid understands it more simply. Potzea refers to cutting the shti threads above the woven fabric in order to detach the completed woven fabric from the loom. Even cutting two strings of the shti, though this doesn't detach the fabric completely, is enough to be chayiv in this malacha. The Rambam understands botzea to refer to a stage after the cloth is removed from the loom, when it is necessary to undo some of the weaving at the ends of the fabric in order to tie it back in a more permanent manner. The Rambam emphasizes that one is chayiv in the malacha of botzea only if he does the act of undoing the weaving with a constructive intent of redoing it in a better way. If he doesn't, then the act of botzea is considered mekalkel, and one is not chayiv on Shabbat for acting with destructive intent. One who undoes a braid in order to make it again in an improved manner is similarly chayiv for the malacha of botzea. Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.